Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And this letter is often called the Gospel of God because it's the good news. And this is indeed the foundational letter in the New Testament. And we see truths dealing with salvation, Christian life, the future, Israel, the church, God's work for us in Christ. Well, as we're seeing chapter 6, pretty powerful chapter, we're seeing some great truths concerning the Christian life. And I said earlier, this is the greatest passage in the New Testament on how we can have victory in the Christian life. Paul tells us how we can do it. In fact, in this chapter, we have seen in our study over these last weeks, we've seen three key words that just give us the flow of the passage and the means to the victorious Christian life. If you remember the words, they're know, to consider, and to present. We know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We're freed from sin. We're to consider. That means to think correctly, and to think that we're dead to sin but alive in Christ, and we do not have to serve the flesh anymore. And then we to present ourselves to God, not to our flesh. Now, if we can get that, and we've talked about it now for a number of weeks, and we're just about through this morning. We'll be through with chapter 6, and we'll get into 7. But if you can put that in your mind, you will begin to have victory in the Christian life, because this is the most important chapter. Think about what we know. We know who we are. We, by faith in Christ, we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We're to walk in newness of life. We're new people. We have been freed from the flesh, from the pull to sin. Freed from it. We're to consider, to think the correct way, to think, consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. And we do not ever have to serve the flesh anymore. So therefore, we present, not to the flesh, not present ourselves to our flesh so that we sin, but present ourselves to God so we can have the victory. If we put this in our minds, we will have victory. This morning, as we look at the end of chapter 6, this is the summary. It's the summary part. He brings it all together. We see a contrast, living in the flesh and living in the Spirit, living for God or living for ourselves, and we'll see that. May we be challenged as we look at this passage to serve God and to have victory. You know, the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it goes right to the heart of the issue, and it never comes back void, but always accomplishes its purpose. It is profitable for us, not only to help us grow and mature, but to able to serve God. So when we think about the Bible, we go, wow, it's everything. God's Word is the foundation for our lives. It's for our growth. As we look at the Bible, sometimes you think, you know, the Bible, in some places it's easy to understand, and in some places it's sort of hard to understand. Well, let's think about salvation for a second. It's both simple and complex. It's so simple that even a child can understand that Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again. And if they believe in Him, they have eternal life. They trust Him as Savior. It's that simple. But it's also so complex that we'll spend the rest of our lives thinking about things like propitiation and substitution and justification and imputation, all those terms, some of the things that we saw in Romans, how it all fits together. So God's Word is both simple and complex at the same time. As we finish Romans chapter 6, Paul brings everything together with a simple summary statement. It's a famous verse, a verse we all know. It's Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's his summary statement. Sin brings death, Christ brings life. It's that simple. Sin equals death, Jesus equals life. The truth is this, in Jesus Christ there is life. He is eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. But in the flesh, in sin, there is death and separation. So this morning, as we look at Paul's summary of these issues, we're going to see about having victory in the Christian life. Well, let's begin. What we've been seeing is, I think, as I said earlier, the most powerful chapter in the New Testament, giving truth about the Christian life and have victory. Romans chapter 6 gives us key aspects so that we don't just have to live for Christ, but we can just live in this life, but make a difference as we live on this earth. It's pretty powerful. You remember the three words? I want to break down the passage for you. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. That's what we know. We know that we died and rose again with Christ. When we trusted in Jesus, we died with Him. We were buried with Him. We rose again with Him to a new life. We are new people in Christ. We're to walk in the newness of life. We've been freed from sin. That's 1 through 10. Then verses 11 and 12 are the consider. Consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. And we don't have to serve the flesh anymore. That's why verse 12 says, stop letting sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. And then verses 13, basically to 19, is the present. Present ourselves not to our flesh, but present ourselves to God. Life and righteousness. This morning as we finish the chapter, let me break it down to you for you. We're going to look at verses 20 through 23. It's only four verses, but there's a lot in there. It's just summary. We're going to see the results and the contrast. In fact, in verses 20 through 22, we'll see this result. The result of what's it like if you're controlled by the flesh? What's it like if you control by the Spirit are living for God. If you're a slave to the flesh, what comes out? If you're a slave to God, what comes out? That's verses 20, 21, and 22. And then finally, in verse 23, is a summary for the whole thing. And it's a famous verse. And most of the time when we hear this verse, we think of it as a salvation verse. But remember, we're not in a salvation section of the book of Romans. It is some great truths here, and they're general principles that we can use, but we'll see it. And that last part is a contrast between sin bringing death and Jesus Christ bringing life. It's that simple. May we be changed by the Word of God. May we be challenged to live for the glory of our God and Savior as we look at this passage. Let's think about a truth as we start. Let's think about a truth that we saw last week. You remember what we said? We said everybody's got to serve somebody. We may not realize it or not, but we are servants. Before salvation, before you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're a slave of sin. The sin, when we talk about sin, we're talking about that part of us on the inside that bent to do wrong. Sometimes the Bible calls it the old man, the flesh. That's that part that's there, and we were slaves to that. So our flesh pulled us to sin. When we trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we died to sin, but we're alive in Christ. But guess what? We're slaves to God. We're not free. We're a servant either way. Either we're a slave to sin or we're a slave to God. Now, that's fantastic to be a slave to God because the living, creating God decided He would let us serve Him. That's an incredible truth. So as believers, we have a choice. As a believer, you have a choice. Are you going to serve flesh or are you going to serve God? You have a pull inside you that says, do the things you want to do. And we're talking about the lust of the flesh, which is wrong, sin. You also have inside you God, the Holy Spirit, and He's saying, I want you to live for me to bring glory to God. You have that pull. Remember the challenge we saw last time? Look at verse 19. That's where we ended. He says this, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. He says, I'm giving it to you as simply as I can. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, which resulted in further lawlessness, just as you used to present yourself to your flesh, which resulted in sin, he says, now present your members, the parts of your body, your life, as slaves to righteousness. Realize you belong to God and you're righteous. And it results in sanctification. Sanctification means being set apart for God. It means growing to be more and more like Christ. And so he gives you a powerful charge. He says, just as you used to present, or you can present yourself to the flesh, which results in sin, present yourself to God, which results in sanctification, growing to be more and more like Jesus Christ. It's pretty powerful. We have before every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior a choice and a challenge. The choice is it flesh or is it God? The challenge is who you're going to serve. Are we going to serve our flesh, which results in being pulled to sin and defeat? Or are we going to serve God, living in His power, which results in righteousness and growth to be more and more like Christ? Now here's the question that's the key. Who decides what we do? Who decides if you live in the flesh or if you live in the power of God for victory? The answer is you do. Each one of us in this room, I do. I decide if I'm going to live that way. You decide if you're going to serve God. You decide if you're going to serve yourself. Well, this morning we're going to see the summary, the end of this little section. And we've been seeing some great things in Romans chapter 6. But he's going to do a couple of things. In verse 20 and 21, he's going to say, what is it like if we live by the flesh? Then in verse 22, what's it like if we live in the power of the Holy Spirit? Living for God. And then the last thing is the contrast. Let's look at what it says. Verse 20 says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Now he's going to talk about what it was like. When you were slaves of sin, he's going back to remind us what it was like before we believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. We were slaves of sin. The word sin there, remember, we're not talking about personal sins. We're talking about that part of us that does wrong. That flesh inside of us, that natural bent to do wrong. We come into this world with that natural bent. We know that. We do not have to teach people to do wrong. We do it naturally. We have to teach people to do right. So there's that flesh. And he says, when we were slaves of sin, when we were slaves of our flesh. And we were. Ephesians 2 verses 1, 2, and 3 says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to this world. We walked according to the course, to our flesh. And we walked according to the devil, basically, is what he says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. That's how we were. We were dead. As unbelievers, we were slaves to sin. Now, let me tell you something that's wild. As a believer, you can still be a slave to sin. Now, you know, when you trusted Christ as Savior, you were born again. You were a changed person. No longer you dead in sin, you're alive in Christ. And as we've already learned from Romans chapter 6, you consider yourself dead to sin but alive in Christ. But that flesh is still there. and you have a choice, and you can still be a slave to sin. Because you, and remember what we've already found out in Romans chapter 6, whoever you yield yourself to, that's who you're going to serve. If you yield yourself to the flesh, you will serve the flesh, and you can be a slave to sin. If you yield to God inside you, you can serve Him. That's a powerful passage. As believers, we can still be slaves to sin. That's why Romans chapter 6, verse 12, he says, stop letting sin reign in your life. Stop letting it rule you, because we don't have to let it rule us. So he says, now when you were slaves of sin, that's how it was before you were a believer, that's what you were like. He says, you were free in regard to righteousness. What he's saying is, you were separated from righteousness. You could not produce righteous things. Now I want you to understand, as an unbeliever, you cannot produce righteousness. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 64, 6, even the righteous works of men are what? Filthy rags. See, even when people do good things, when unbelievers do good things, they're not righteousness as far as God is concerned. It's filthy rags. There's not one thing any human being could ever do to come to God and say, what do you think of that? And God says, that's a real righteous work. That ought to get you with me. There's not one thing we could ever do. And that's why he says, when we were slaves of sin, we were free in regard to righteousness. We could not produce righteousness. That's why the Bible says, there's none good, no, not one. There's not one righteous. That's why in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says, in my flesh, inside of me, dwells no good thing. Nothing good. We're simple people. As unbelievers, we were slaves to sin, not able to live righteously. What were the results? And let me just say this. As a believer, you can be a slave to sin and live unrighteously. What is the results of living in the flesh? Look what he says in verse 21. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you're now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. Look what he says. Therefore, he gives a little summary. Since we were slaves of sin, we were free from righteousness, we couldn't do what was right. Therefore, what benefit? The word benefit doesn't mean like what was it good for you for. The word benefit there literally is the Greek word for fruit. What production, what fruit, what did you produce when you were controlled by the flesh? He says, therefore, what production were you deriving from the things which you're now ashamed? What came out in your life did you produce when you were controlled by the flesh? We already know if you go to Galatians chapter 5, it lists in Galatians 5, 22 through about 23, 24, 25, 26, in that little area. He lists it's actually 19 and 20. He actually gives the results of being controlled by the flesh. It's hatred and envy and jealousy and strife and all kind of different things. He says, what were the benefit? What was the production that you were deriving from the things which you're now ashamed? But let me just say this. He says, you're ashamed. For those of us who know Christ as Savior, and we think back to how we lived when we lived in the flesh as an unbeliever, there are things that we did that we'd say, well, I'm ashamed I ever did that. And let me say something else. As a believer, when you live in the power of the flesh, and we can and we do, we also look back at that and say, well, I'm ashamed I did that too. He says, what benefit, what production, what did you produce from the things that you are now ashamed? He says, the outcome of those things is death. I want you to understand something. Anytime there's sin, there's always death. The outcome of all sin is death. And whatever you produce, whenever there is sin or flesh, it's going to always produce death. The soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. It is always that way. Now, last time we talked about death, and I want to remind you of something, because when you think of the word death, remember that death always means separation. It does not mean annihilation. There's some people who believe, well, when you die, that's the end of you. No, it does not. Death does not mean annihilation. It means separation. And we talked last week, and I want to go over very quickly, that there are at least four different kinds of death that you find in the Bible. The first kind is called physical death. It's a separation of the body from the soul and the spirit. When a person dies physically, their body goes in the grave, their soul and spirit go somewhere else. That's a separation. That's physical death. There's a death which is called spiritual death. That's when a person is separated from God. When we come into this world, when people are born into this world, unbelievers are spiritually dead. We're separated from the Father. We cannot know Him in that sense. The third kind of death is called eternal death. And that's if a person comes into this world spiritually dead and they do not trust Jesus Christ as Savior, when they die physically, they will also be eternally separated from God. People call that hell. The Bible calls it the lake of fire. There is a fourth kind of death which deals with believers. We call it temporal death or temporary death. When you as a believer have sin in your life, you are separated from the Father in your fellowship with Him. We call that saying, well, you're out of fellowship with God. And you are dead. And then what you have to do, according to 1 John 1:9, is you confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You get back in fellowship. You're alive again. So as a believer, you can die in your fellowship with God, not your relationship, because when you put your faith in Christ as Savior, you have a relationship with Him forever. You have eternal life. So when you think of death, and in this passage when he says, what's the outcome of sin for the wages or the outcome of these things is death. Which kind of death is he talking about? He's talking about all of them. He's giving a general statement there. Anytime there's sin, it will result in death. Now, do you realize that if you're in this room this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're dead. And this morning, if you're in this room here and you know Christ as your Savior and you have sin in your life, you're dead. For the unbeliever, you put your faith in Christ, He makes you alive. For the believer, you confess your sins, you're alive. One's a temporal death, one's a spiritual death. He says here, what was the benefit then? What is the fruit that you derive from these things you're ashamed? Well, the fruit, the production, the outcome of these things is death. And it's always that way. The result of sin is always death. If you live in the flesh, it's going to always be death. But what about if you live for God? What about if you live in God's power? What's going to come out? Look what he goes on to say in verse 22. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, your production, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Now, here's the contrast. He says, but now, having been freed from sin, we have been freed from sin. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're freed from sin. We don't have to serve the flesh anymore. It's what we know. We know we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We're to walk in newness of life. We've been freed from sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 at the end says, we're no longer slaves to sin. Verse 7 says, he who has died is freed from sin. Verse 18 says, we have been freed from sin. And we ought to stop and go, isn't that the greatest truth of all? That where we were dead in trespasses and sins and we were held in bondage by our flesh, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we are free from that. That's why he says, but now, having been freed from sin. So you don't have to serve your flesh. You can. You don't have to sin. You can and you do. We don't have to. We're free from it. He says, but now, having been freed from sin, and notice here's something we don't always think about, and enslaved to God. See, when you trusted Christ as Savior, you went from being a slave of sin to being a slave of God. Now, that's great. It's much rather be a slave of God than a slave of sin. He says we've been enslaved with God, or to God. We belong to Him. And you realize that we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. To redeem means to purchase by paying a price. Jesus Christ purchased us when He died on the cross, when He shed His blood. 1 Peter says we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We've been bought. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You belong to Jesus Christ. We're not free. We're servants of Christ. That's the greatest thing we could ever be. Colossians 3:24 says it is the Lord Jesus Christ that we serve. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says let us be regarded as servants of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says we are bond servants of Christ. One of these days when you stand before Jesus, you want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because that's what you are. You want to be a faithful and good servant, not an unfaithful and wicked servant. Because you can be as a believer, as a child of God. You don't have to serve Him. You can serve the flesh or you can serve Him. You have the choice. He says, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, remember, everybody's got to serve somebody. Either we serve God or we serve ourselves. Either we serve our flesh, which results in death, or we serve God. What is the result of serving God? Notice what he says, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, your results, your fruit. What is it? Resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. It results, produces sanctification. Remember, sanctification means being set apart. The truth is this, that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, He gives you eternal life, and you begin the process of what we call the Christian life, but the Bible uses the term sanctification. We're to grow more and more like Jesus Christ. So from the moment we trust Christ until the time we die or Jesus comes and gets us, we're to be growing to be more and more like Christ. And let me tell you, if you live in the flesh, you die. If you live in the power of God, you become more and more like Him every day. That's why in Romans 8:29 he says, here's my plan is to be you to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the plan. So the plans God has for every one of us in this room is that as we live day after day after day, we're not to live in the flesh, which results in death and sin. We're to live in the power of God, serving Him, and the results will be every day we get a little bit more like Jesus Christ. That's the plan, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. What a powerful contrast. He goes on to say, he says, the result is in sanctification and the outcome, the final out results of all of this is eternal life. It's life with Him forever. He's highlighting the fact that you have a relationship with Him that never ends, and the end result of all of this is life forever with Him. Now, what a contrast. So who are you going to serve? When we serve the flesh, there's death. When we serve God, there's sanctification and life. How do you live your life? I mean, we've looked at this now for 4 or 5 weeks going through Romans chapter 6. And he gives us the same truths over and over. Who are you going to live for? You're going to serve the flesh. You're going to serve God. You don't have to serve the flesh. Why? Because you know you died and rose again with Christ to a new life. You're set free from the flesh. You need to consider that you're dead to sin but alive in Christ. You need not to present yourself to the flesh. Present yourself to God. Because if you present yourself to the flesh, you die. If you present yourself to God, there's sanctification and life. It's that simple. Now he's going to end this section, putting it all together, with one famous verse that we all know. And as I said earlier, that most of the time when you hear of Romans 6:23, you're usually presenting the gospel to somebody. You're saying, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's true. And this, at the end of this, this, as you remember, is we're now dealing with the Christian life. And he's going to make a general statement. It's true in a lot of ways. And the general statement is, sin always brings death. Christ always brings life. That's the key. Look at this general statement. It can be applied in a lot of ways. Look at verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the... Now, my Bible is a New American Standard. It has the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll talk more about when it says free gift in just a minute as we go through the verse. But the first part says, look at this great contrast. The wages of sin is death. Now, the word wages means what you get, what you produce. It's the similar idea back in the other verses. What you earn. You do sin, what do you earn? The wages of sin is death. Now, sin means rebellion. And this whole idea, when he's using the wages of sin, he's not just talking about personal sins. He's still talking about the concept of living in the flesh. For the wages of living in the flesh, the wages of sin is death. And you could ask the question, what kind of death is he talking about? He's talking about all of them. Sin brings physical death, sin brings spiritual death, sin brings eternal death, and in the life of the believer, sin brings temporal death. They're all there. The wages of sin produces in our lives death. That's why in a fallen world, there are dead people walking and they don't even know they're dead. And that's why in the life of a Christian, you can be a believer and be dead because you're temporarily out of fellowship with God because you have sin in your life because the wages of sin is always death. But there's a great contrast. But the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm glad there's a but there. I'm glad there's this contrast because we got sin and death, but... And notice what he says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. My Bible says free gift. The Greek word literally just means something without any cost. That's what a gift is. If a gift costs you anything, it's not a gift. Now, my twin sister's here, and she's on the front row, and we happen to have the same birthday since we're twins. And so she just came up yesterday, and some of her family, and she brought my birthday present, which we just had a birthday not too long ago, and I gave her. And you know what? I could say this. What did I do to get a present from my twin sister, Judy? Absolutely nothing. It's a gift. And if I say, oh, okay, I'll do this for you, and you can give me the present, then it's not a present anymore. It's not a gift anymore. If you have to do anything for it, it can't be a gift. I use this illustration every time that I do membership training. I always say, look, I'll give you $5 if you'll wash my car. Am I giving you $5? No. Because you're having to wash my car. And sometimes people confuse the gospel because it is a gift all the way. And sometimes people will say things like this, God has a gift for you. If you're willing to turn away from your sins, give your life to Jesus, walk down the aisle, make Him Lord of your life, get baptized, join a church, you can be saved. That's not a gift. That's works. A gift costs you absolutely nothing. So be careful when you talk to people about salvation. Don't put something in there that requires them to do something because it's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's so powerful. Notice it's God's gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you're saved through faith. It's the gift of God. John 3:24 says you're justified as a gift. It's God's gift to us. Notice what it is. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, don't ever get confused, because eternal life means eternal life. Means exactly what it says. It means life that never ends. I've had people say, well, you can trust Jesus and get eternal life, but then you could lose it. Then it wasn't eternal life. It was life for a time. If God said to you, I give you eternal life, it can never end, or else He didn't tell the truth. So don't ever doubt. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He gives you eternal life. You'll never perish. Notice what it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? It's by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. John 3:16, God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have what? Everlasting life. John 10:28, Jesus said, I give you eternal life. Notice, I give you, not you earn eternal life. I give you eternal life. Notice the passage, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life. How? It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's through Jesus. The only way you're going to have eternal life, it must come through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. He is the life giver, John chapter 1, verse 4. He's the resurrection of life, John 11:25. He gives eternal life, John 10:28. Over and over through the Scripture, He is the only life giver there is. He's the only way to have life. That there are people today that we talk about, people talk to us and say, listen, you know, your God says this, but my God does this way. Listen, I want you to understand, there is only one way to God. There are not many ways to God. There is only one Savior. The only way a person can have life forever is through Jesus Christ, because He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. As you go out into this world, you're going to talk to people who say, well, there are many ways to God or many gods. No, there are not. There's only one way to God. There's only one God and one Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to come to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, and that is by faith in Him. That's all there is. It's that simple. It's that easy. Now, it's been confused, but that's all there is. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. And so He says, the gift of God is eternal life. How? In Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus our Lord. What a contrast. Sin brings death. Jesus Christ brings life. Do you have the gift of eternal life, which comes by faith? If there's anyone in this room who has never trusted in Christ as their Savior, right now, you don't have to come down or do anything. You sit right there and you say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, paid for my sins, and gives me eternal life, and I'm trusting Him to get me to heaven. He gives you that exact moment eternal life. That's a gift. It's not what you do, not what you earn. As we bring this to a close, we know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We know that we're to walk in newness of life, and we've been set free from sin. We're to consider and think correctly that we're dead to sin, but alive in Christ, and we don't have to serve the flesh anymore. We're to present our bodies, not to the flesh, which results in sin and death, but present ourselves to God, which results in righteousness and life. And we know this, that sin always brings death, and Jesus Christ always brings life. So what have we seen? Before our salvation, we were slaves to sin. There was no righteousness. The results of serving sin is always death. But when we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we became servants of God. And the results of serving God is life. And the great contrast is that sin brings death, but Jesus Christ brings life. Let me give you some applications. First one is this: when we live by the flesh, we will die. There's no doubt about it. Talking to believers. As a believer, when you live in the power of the flesh, you're going to die. It's a temporal death as a believer, but you die. A, the flesh pulls us to sin. That's that part of us that's inside of us that's pulling us all the time. And it's a natural bent to do wrong. And if you follow what's naturally, you'll sin. B, we can yield to the flesh. How many of you yield to the flesh? Don't raise your hand. We all do. You can follow your flesh and sin. See, the result's always death. It's always death. There are people who are born into this world. They're going to physically die. They're spiritually dead. And if they don't trust in Jesus, they'll be eternally dead. And for those of us who have trusted in Christ, if we sin, we're temporarily dead. The result is always death. But the great news is that God's gift to us is eternal life in Jesus Christ. A gift is without cost. Don't be confused. When you get the opportunity to tell people how they can have eternal life, tell them God is offering them a gift. And they believe in Christ as their Savior. They take the gift of eternal life. It's that simple. He died and rose again and He gives life. The gift is without cost. The second thing is the gift is eternal life. That's what it is. We get to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. Can't ever end. You ought to feel secure knowing that He gives you the moment you believe. It's present tense. It's not future. It's not I will give you eternal life. It's I give you eternal life. You have it the moment you believe, and it's life forever with Christ. The third thing is trust in Christ for eternal life. That's the only way you get it. It's by faith in Christ. He's the only way to God. As a believer, and as we look at this passage, we know who we are. We know what we're to consider, and we know where to present. But knowing that wages of sin is going to always bring death, and Jesus Christ is going to always bring life. So let's don't present ourselves to the flesh. Let's present ourselves to God in us so that there can be righteousness and sanctification and life. May we serve God, growing as believers, knowing that sin always brings death, while God's gift to us is eternal life only through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for a great morning. Thank You for this time we can come. Lord, we know that if we live by the flesh, we die as believers. We can live by the flesh. The flesh pulls us all the time. We can yield to the flesh. The result is going to always be death for us as a believer. It's temporal death. Lord, may we deal with that. May we not live in the flesh, but may we present ourselves to You. Lord, we realize You have a gift for us. It's eternal life. It's without cost. Else it wouldn't be a gift. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that it is eternal life and we're saved and saved forever. And Lord, it's just by faith we trust You and You alone and we have eternal life. Lord, I pray that all of us in this room, as we've looked at Romans chapter 6 for these last weeks, that we understand who we are, we know who we are, we consider how we are to live, that we're dead to sin, alive in Christ, and we'll present ourselves not to our flesh, but to You inside of us, knowing that sin always brings death and Christ always brings life. Lord, use us as we scatter out in this community to tell people about Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name.